Good morning. One fear that Lucy didn't mention is cacarapha-phobia. Cacarapha-phobia, the fear of failure. Now, you might not be familiar with that big term, but chances are you've experienced at one time or another what it means to feel the fear of failure. It's more common than you might think. Do you suffer from the fear of failure? Let's look at some symptoms here. Are you reluctant to try new things or to get involved in challenging projects? That's a symptom of fear of failure. Do you sabotage yourself with procrastination, excessive anxiety, or a failure to follow through on those goals? It's another symptom of the fear of failure. Do you often use negative self-talk? This is a biggie. Oh, I'll never get that promotion. I'm not smart enough to be on that team, or whatever. Negative self-talk. Are you unwilling to try something unless you know you can do it perfectly? This is the one that gets me the most. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play unless I know I can win. All right? Another one, do you hold back asking questions for fear? That's a dumb question. Fear of failure can hold a Christ follower back from moving forward in Christ. Let me give you a couple of examples. It shows up when you're reluctant to try reading through the Bible again, or to try to quit smoking, or to try to lose weight, or break that bad habit or that addiction. You've tried before, and you failed, and you don't want to fail again because it hurts. It hurts so much to fail. Today is part 7 in our series, Fear Less, a series about facing our fears and fearing less through faith, faith in Jesus. This morning, our title is Fear of Failure, and we are learning that failure can actually be the back door to success. That's right. It can be a stepping stone to success, especially in following Jesus. You don't need to fear failure when you're following Jesus, as long as you don't give up and quit. Our story that we're looking at this morning shows us how. It's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Let's look at it together and help me out when we come to the yellow print. It starts like this. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted, notice that word, insisted. Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called out to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Help me. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. This is an awesome story. It really is. It shows us that Jesus' authority over nature should generate faith in us and worship. But it also speaks to our fear of failure. And we're going to see how today. It's all wrapped up in our main idea, the one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else that I say. And if you're taking notes there on your outline, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. When you follow Jesus faithfully, that's the key. When you follow Jesus faithfully, you succeed, even when you fail. It is fail-safe. When you follow Jesus faithfully, you succeed even when you fail. We're going to look at today four fundamentals for defeating fear of failure in following Jesus. And it's derived from this text right here. So if you haven't done so already, you want to get your outline out of your program so you can fill in those blanks. Or if you have a smartphone and the YouVersion app, you can turn that on and link up to our outline and find all the scripture passages that are along with our text today. Four fundamentals for defeating fear of failure in following Jesus. And the first one is get into the boat. Get into the boat. What first pops out to us in this amazing story is Jesus' insistence that his disciples get into the boat. Verse 22, I called attention to it. He insisted. Why did he do that? Why is he so assertive? Why is he so pushy? Well, Matthew doesn't really tell us why. What we do know is that Jesus, before this story, he just finished feeding a hungry crowd of 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So this is a crowd that could be 15,000 people. And he fed that huge crowd with nothing more than 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Now, the Gospel of John tells us that as a result of this extraordinary miracle that Jesus performed, the crowds went crazy. John 6:15 says the crowd wanted to make Jesus their king by force. Jesus didn't want them to make him king. He wasn't a revolutionary. He didn't want to overthrow the Roman government. But the crowd wanted that to happen. So apparently, Jesus wanted his disciples nowhere near this commotion that was going on, even though it may have seemed very exciting to them, very thrilling to them. They don't know the story the way we know it. They're thinking, hey, become king? That sounds like a great thing. We're his disciples. I mean, it's like it's election night and your guy is about to win the White House. You're excited. They want to make our master king. And here he's taking them away from that. Remember as a kid when you and your friends are out playing and starting to get dark and you're just starting to really have fun, and your dad or your mom says, hey, it's time to come in, time to come in. And you're, oh, come on, Dad, we're just having so much fun. You remember that? Oh, we all remember that. Well, following Jesus can sometimes seem like that. It sometimes feel like you're missing out on all the fun. Instead of doing what everyone else is doing, you've got to do what he says. You've got to get into the boat, as it were. Stay sexually pure. When others are sleeping around, stay clean. When others are out partying, share about Jesus with your unsaved neighbors and relatives and friends when it's so much easier not to, to just kind of clam up and fit in. Show kindness when it's so much easier and maybe even more fun to join in trash-talking your boss or that weirdo coworker of yours. All of this, even though we know it's not right to do those things, refraining from that, not going along with the crowd, it can seem like it's risky behavior in our world. Am I right? We know. We've all been there. But the disciples, though probably disappointed to miss out on this exciting thing that's going on, they go ahead and they get into the boat to cross back to the other side of Lake Galilee, or sometimes called the Sea of Galilee. It's right before nightfall, we're told here, say around 6 p.m. approximately. Now, the lake at this point is about 4 or 5 miles across. They are somewhere here south of Bethsaida. That's where the feeding took place. They get into the boat. They're going to head over to Gennesaret, which is south of Capernaum on the west shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it says that they're, in the Gospel of John, that they're about 3 or 4 miles into this trip when Jesus walks on the water. It's about 4 or 5 miles across at this point. And they're somewhere around here when this event takes place. Little do they know that there's this powerful windstorm that's brewing as they're getting into the boat. What should have been just a quick jaunt across the lake turns into a 9-hour-plus ordeal, trying to row against the wind. It's a rowing contest from 6 p.m. till 3 a.m., when this event of walking on the water takes place. These guys are exhausted. They're cold. I'm sure they're cranky. And they're probably beginning to crab about, oh man, did he ever make a mistake in sending us out here? Get into the boat. Yeah, we get into the boat and here we are. You know? It's warm and dry back there. Are we there sitting by a nice warm fire? No, we're out in the middle of the lake trying to make it across through this windstorm. Get into the boat. Yeah, right. Get into the boat. They're exhausted. They're cranky. And they're thinking that this is probably a dumb idea. They're straining their muscles. They're back. They're pulling their muscles. They're getting nowhere fast. Could it be? Could it be that sometimes Jesus sends us out into the storm, the storms of life, knowing that it's going to be hard, knowing it's going to be painful? He does that, folks. If you've been a Christ follower for very long, you know he does that. It's not just when you make a mistake. Sometimes it's a result of doing exactly what he said. But he knows what's best. You know, staying back on shore, it could have wrecked these guys, really. They could have got caught up into that fervor that was going on. It could have wrecked their faith, but this ordeal is going to build their faith. It's going to become one of the neatest stories in the gospel record. You know, it can seem risky sometimes to your reputation, even dangerous, to follow Jesus, to get into the boat. For a while, it may seem, from all appearances, like it was a mistake, but not so. What hard thing is Jesus calling you to do today? Maybe there's a relationship you know you need to break off. Maybe there's something you need to fess up to. Maybe there's a conversation, a tough conversation that you know you need to have, a decision, something. Jesus is calling you to do it. The risky thing that you fear most. Let's look at a second fundamental for defeating fear of failure in following Jesus. Number two on your outline, accept Jesus' encouragement. Accept his encouragement. Don't you wish that at least one of the disciples had his smartphone with him for this occasion so he could, you know, kind of get us some recording of this? It's a miracle that everybody points to when you want to, you know, illustrate the perfect person. Ah, that guy, that Chris Bordeaux, he practically walks on water, you know? We refer to it that way. Of all Jesus' miracles, this is the one that I most would have wanted to witness, to have been there for. Maybe not out in that cold boat, but just to see it happen, apart from the resurrection. This is maybe the neatest miracle that he ever performed. And yet, when the disciples first see Jesus, they poop their pants in terror. They are terrified, it says. They think he's a ghost. Now watch out here. Caution. Don't be too tough on these guys. Remember, it's 3 a.m. It's pitch dark. They're tired. They're very emotional. And then they see somebody walking toward them on the water. I mean, you know, that doesn't happen too often, does it? In that set of circumstances, you might believe in ghosts too, you know? I mean, it's like when you're in a dark and scary place and maybe you've heard something strange or whatever. You might fear all sorts of things that under normal circumstances you know don't exist, but all of a sudden they kind of become real to you in that scary moment, right? You been there? What I find fascinating is that Jesus chooses this weird, spooky, dangerous venue to bring encouragement to his disciples. Verse 27, Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." It's fascinating. These guys are in the middle of Lake Galilee during a windstorm. You know, people will tell you that sail that lake for a living as fishermen today, that these storms that come up all of a sudden, they can be very dangerous. They can be life-threatening. And yet, here they are out there. And it doesn't say that they're afraid until they see Jesus. That's what really gets them scared. It's not the threat of drowning. It's the threat of seeing Jesus. They see him and they think that he's a ghost. And it says in verse 26, they're terrified. It's the first time it uses that word. The lake was dangerous, but they're more afraid of Jesus than they are of the storm. This happens with us too, doesn't it? Maybe you fear confessing to your boss that you stole something. You know you should. But you're afraid. You're more afraid of confessing than you are of facing God for that. Or living with a guilty conscience. Maybe I fear rejection. When I talk to my neighbor about Jesus, I fear that rejection more than I fear that he's going to die and go to hell. We mistakenly fear the good thing more than the real danger. But all the while, Jesus is offering encouragement there. He's assuring us, "I'm with you. I'm here. Don't be afraid." Do you believe that Jesus is with you in the middle of the storm? Do you? Well then, tell yourself that repeatedly when you're there. Tell yourself, because it's true. We need to tell ourselves the truth. When you're in the middle of the storm, say to him, Jesus, I know you're with me. Comfort me. Dear Lord, let me feel your presence. Let me hear your voice saying to me, I'm here. Don't be afraid. Take courage. They thought Jesus was far away from them. They thought he was back on shore. They thought that he was ignorant of their situation and unable to help them, but not so. Choose to do the hard thing, and when you do, look for Jesus, because he's there. He's there, though it may not seem like it. Accept his encouragement. Number three, the third fundamental for defeating fear of failure in following Jesus on your outline is get out of the boat. Before you got in, now you get out. Only two people in history, in the history of the world, as far as we know, have ever walked on water: Jesus and the Apostle Peter. 12 guys are in the boat, but only Peter asks Jesus if he can walk on water too. And then he gets to do it. I love this. This is such a cool story. You just gotta love this guy, Peter. Put yourself in Peter's soggy sandals for a moment. Would you have done this? Would you? Maybe with a life jacket, huh? Maybe during the daytime when the sea is calm. There are no waves, sun is shining. Maybe after I see him do it a few times, right? Then maybe I'll try it. How about then? Remember, the wind is howling. The lake is deep. It's very dangerous. You've got no life jacket, no skis, no surfboard, no rope to hang on to. Swimming in this kind of situation would be next to impossible. In a storm like this, failure could mean drowning almost instantly. But Peter wants to take the risk. He sees Jesus doing something and he wants to do the same thing. He wants to do what Jesus is doing. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would walk on water. Well, maybe I should walk on water. Strange thought. Even though it's impossible for, apart from a miracle, Peter wants to do it. Is he being foolhardy here? Shouldn't ask such a dumb question, Peter. No. Notice he asks Jesus' permission. Peter calls out to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus says to him. Come. Peter jumps out of that boat. He can't wait to get on that water. He wants to get out there and walk on water. And he does. All because he saw Jesus do it. And he asked if he could do it too. What if we did this ourselves? It's really a radical thought, folks. You know, there are people in India and China and Africa and in the Muslim bloc nations that are coming to Jesus, and they're hearing the stories of the Gospels, stories like this one, and they're saying, hey, Jesus did it. We're supposed to follow him. Why don't we just ask Jesus if we can do it too, to heal that paralyzed person, or that person with spina bifida, or that child who's died? Maybe the child will come back to life. Now, folks, these people haven't gotten the memo yet that those things don't happen, you see, and yet they're happening. They are happening. They're happening because people are just asking in simple faith. And there are many documented stories by medical professionals who have seen these astounding things happen where the gospel is exploding overseas. Now, we may say, well, That shouldn't happen today. But this is what Jesus says. Look at John chapter 14, verse 12. Look at this astounding verse. Try to take it in. Jesus is talking. He's talking to his disciples. It's the night before he died. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Grasp that verse. It's astounding. Jesus is speaking here to us. Notice he doesn't say just to the 12 apostles. He says, anyone who believes in me. You believe in Jesus? Well, then you qualify. And here he's talking about performing miraculous works. You know what I think? I think that too often I settle for a non-miraculous Christian life. Why? Because that's pretty much what I see. It's pretty much what I've been used to. And I kind of get used to that, and then I pick up the New Testament, and I read it, and it messes me all up. Nothing like the New Testament to really mess with your theology. Because there, I see it not only happening, but I see God telling me and telling other believers that this is what we should expect. Maybe not every time, but way more than I typically see it. Maybe I need to pray more boldly. Not just for God to guide the surgeon's hand, but to actually heal that person, to cure that person of cancer. Yes, I know. God works through doctors and medicine and all that. I'm not telling you not to see your doctor or get off your medication. I know God works that way. He made us so our bodies naturally heal themselves under most circumstances. So that's the normal way of it happening. But what I am saying is that maybe we settle for a non-supernatural Christian life because we just don't have enough faith to ask. Believing the Lord might actually perform a miracle among us. I have seen miracles, people healed of diseases. If Peter hadn't asked, he likely never would have walked on water. You say, yeah, but look what happened to him. He sank. He failed. Yeah, he did. Notice, it says there in verse 30, he saw the strong wind and the waves. He was terrified and began to sink. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. And he focused instead on the storm. He focused on the circumstances. That's what caused him to fail. That's what will cause us to fail. He moved his eyes off Jesus and looked instead at those dangerous, threatening circumstances. And Jesus gently corrects Peter. He doesn't scold him here. He just says, hey, Peter, why didn't you trust me more? This didn't have to happen. And he does this with us, but don't miss the point. Yes, Peter failed, but he also succeeded in doing what no one else has ever done except Jesus. He walked on water. I think that's pretty cool. What are your, when you're following Jesus and you experience some failure, there's no shame. There is no shame in that. You did what others were afraid to do. Remember, Jesus was there to catch Peter, and he did. Jesus was Peter's lifeguard. I can imagine Peter talking about this years to come in the future. I got rescued by Jesus. Jesus saved my life. He was my lifeguard. Oh, and did I mention? It was when I was walking on water. Now that is a story. He took that step of faith. Peter may have not gotten to the end zone, but he got out of the stands, he got onto the field, and he moved that ball toward the goal. The other disciples, hey, they succeeded too. They got into the boat when it seemed a dumb thing to do, when it led them into a storm. They got to witness an awesome miracle. I would have loved, even if I didn't get out of the boat, I would have loved to have seen it. But Peter got to walk on water. If you have gotten into the boat, in other words, you're a follower of Jesus, take Peter's cue here to step out of the boat, to take that step of faith, to try to do the hard thing. But this time, keep your focus on Jesus. Maybe you have failed before. Okay. This time, keep your focus on Jesus. And if you slip again, don't let it discourage you. Remember, He's there. He's there to rescue you. The only way you can truly fail is to quit. Give up. Bail out of the boat. Or not get in the boat in the first place. My friend, Jesus died on the cross in your place for your sins, and then He rose from the dead. He did that to save you from hell, to save you from your sins. Have you taken that first step, that step into the boat to follow Him? If you never have, why not do that today? Begin to follow Jesus. Let's look at the fourth fundamental for defeating fear of failure and following Jesus. Determine to know Jesus better. This miracle story, my favorite in the Gospels, apart from Jesus' resurrection, but it's not my favorite just because Jesus walks on the water or Peter walks on the water. Even better than that part is what most readers miss. And I'd like to show it to you today if you've never seen it before. Note again Jesus' words. He says, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." The word "here" there, the word "here" there, is not in the original Greek. Literally, the original Greek reads, "Ego eimi," or "I am." I am. You say, okay, so what? Jesus is saying, it's me, it's not a ghost, it's the guy you know and love, it's Jesus. Yes, He is saying that, but He's saying more than just that. The words "I am" here most likely allude back to this expression in the Old Testament, in which Yahweh God identifies Himself. One classic example is Exodus 3:14, where God says to Moses at the burning bush, "I am who I am. Say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am." That's really the verbal form of Yahweh. Yahweh means He is. But when God speaks Himself, He says, "I am." And so Jesus is applying this expression to Himself. He's identifying Himself as Yahweh, Almighty God, to His disciples. And as His disciples later reflected on this, no doubt they thought of passages like this one. Look at Job chapter 9, verse 8. It's talking about God here. Notice what it says. It says, "He alone stretches out the heavens," that means He alone is the Creator, "and treads on the waves of the sea." They must have thought of that passage later when they got dry and warm, and maybe after Jesus arose from the dead. Recall again what happens when Jesus and Peter get back in the boat. All the wind suddenly dies down, and then it just begins to dawn on them. What and who they just saw. The disciples, it says in verse 33, worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Their first instinct in seeing this great miracle was to worship Jesus. And they were spot on. No doubt, they didn't fully grasp what this meant until later, after Jesus rose from the dead. All they knew right now is that Jesus is far more awesome than they had ever thought before. He actually walks and talks like God himself. Literally, he walks and talks like God himself. This is what happens when you step out in faith in following Jesus, even if you fail. Even if you fail, you still succeed in getting to know Jesus better, getting a deeper revelation of him. You can count on it. He'll give you a fuller disclosure of himself as you trust in him in the storm and walk by faith. Many years ago, when I was first starting this church, fear of failure, it was huge to me. Debbie and I, with our one-year-old daughter, left a comfortable church setting to start a completely new congregation. We lived in Madison Heights. We moved out here to Shelby Township. I barely knew Shelby Township even existed back in those days. Anything north of M59, who knows what that is. But we moved out here to start this congregation, and as the weeks and months passed, and after I faced one setback after another, people leaving, money was tight, people were upset with me, the numbers weren't what we were hoping for, one thing after another going wrong, fear of failure, it may have been my biggest motivation, because I kept thinking to myself, what happens if this church goes down? You know, the boat sinks. I got to feed my family. All of a sudden, I've got this reputation. I start a church and I can't keep it going. Fear of failure, it was huge for me. Some folks were hoping that I failed, I'm pretty sure. And I thought I might, and I caved. I caved. I caved to depression, despair, feelings of hopelessness. I wanted more than anything else just to chuck the whole thing and do something else. I wasn't just tempted to quit. Truth be told, I did quit. Hundreds of times. Unbeknownst to anybody else except the Lord and Debbie, I quit many, many times. I didn't almost fail. I did fail. Hundreds of times I fell flat on my face. I just didn't tell anyone. Hundreds of times, well, some people knew probably. They could deduce it. Hundreds of times I took my eyes off of Jesus and began to look at myself. But by God's grace, I called out to him out of desperation, out of fear, and he rescued me. He never failed to rescue me. When I told him I couldn't do this anymore, I can't do this anymore, he would eventually tell me, you know, just chill. You're going to be all right. I would eventually hear that whisper from him. Take heart. Don't be afraid. I am here. I can't say that I never failed, because I did. But I can thank God that I never fully quit. And many of you I know have similar stories that you could share. And today, because of that ordeal, I know Jesus way better than I would have had I not gone through that storm. When you follow Jesus faithfully, you succeed, even when you fail. Follow Jesus. Get into the boat. Even when it's the non-popular, non-fun-looking thing to do, trust in his encouragement. And then get out of the boat when he says to. Don't take your eyes off of him. But if you do, if you slip up, don't worry. He's going to catch you when you call out to him. Even when you fail, he's going to be there for you. And you're going to get a deeper, richer, more profound knowledge of him as you go through that storm. We're going to close our service here in just a minute. We're going to have the ushers come forward for this morning's offering. And we've got a cool song that we're going to sing together as the offering pouch is passed. Why don't we stand up for this and have a quick prayer, and then we'll sing our closing song. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Truth be told, we're all a bunch of failures in many ways. We failed you, Lord. Even if we never failed anybody else, we failed you by breaking your commands. But thank you so much for Jesus, the rescuer, the one who died for us and rose from the dead. I pray, Father, that we'd have that courage to step into the boat, to follow Jesus, to do the hard thing, even when it's unpopular, to step out of the boat in faith when it comes time to do that, to trust Jesus, to keep our eyes on him, and to call out to him. When we need that, when we need, we take some rescuing sometimes, Lord. You know that. I know you'll be there. You'll be there for all of us. Bless us, Lord, as we give you these tithes and offerings. Please, Lord, receive them as an act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.